This evening, I would like for us to look into grace in the Old Testament. Grace in the Old Testament. But before I get started on grace in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." The Old Testament and the New Testament go hand in hand. We cannot have one without the other. Today, some may say, well, we don't need the Old Testament. That is incorrect. We need the entire Word of God because they work hand in hand. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So in Sunday school, we learned about grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9 states, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." If we feel weak, we should remember that God's grace is sufficient. God will get the glory because it is His power that has given us the victory every day. God will not share His glory with no one. So if you're struggling this evening and you feel like you can't make it, the Word of God says that God's grace is sufficient. It's not something that we can earn. We cannot buy it. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Can I get someone to read that, please? Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Amen. Thank you. So the book of Romans reminds us of God's grace. It reminds us of what He did for us on Calvary. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, and thank you for reading, sister. She just read it. What shall we then say? I'm sorry. She read verse 14. But 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." So we don't want to be presumptuous with God's grace. And what I mean by presumptuous is, well, I'm going to sin. I'm going to do this. God loves me. He's going to forgive me. So I'm just going to continue sinning and sinning. We don't want to do that. That's dangerous. And the Bible said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3 of Romans chapter 6 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" So those of us who've been baptized in Jesus' name, according to the word, we have been baptized into His death. Verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we should walk in newness of life. Again, Isaiah 28 verse 10 says, precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they work hand in hand. You can see the grace of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It shows his love that he has for humanity. Verse 5 in Romans 6 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So again, if you are weak, and weakness doesn't always mean sin, but whatever situation that you may be dealing with, God's grace is sufficient. Amen? What he did for us on the cross is sufficient. His plan of salvation is sufficient. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, amen, and him filling us with his precious Holy Ghost is sufficient to help us with whatever struggles that we may have. The Bible says that he came, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Satan, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We're still talking about grace in the Old Testament. Romans chapter 6, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Jesus Christ has brought every single one of us into this place tonight. Because no man can come to God except his spirit draw him. Verse 10 of Romans chapter 6. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the Old Testament, not just anyone could come into the tabernacle. God is a God of order. And God gave specific instructions to Moses on how he wanted his tabernacle to be built and how the priests, high priests, how they should minister. They couldn't be presumptuous. They couldn't do it slothfully. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. They had to do it how God outlaid it for Moses. They had to bring animals and sacrifice, to have those animals sacrificed for their sins year after year. It was very bloody. The altar, the tabernacle, was a bloody place. And Jesus, he became the ultimate sacrifice. They put a linen cloth on him, you know, for privacy, but he was naked on that cross. God came to earth, robed himself in flesh for you and I and for all humanity. What love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. We're talking about grace, and grace can be seen throughout the entire Bible. We need the Old Testament and we need the New Testament. They go hand in hand. And again, 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Continuing on with Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In the Old Testament, God had his principles established. And we today may say that some of the consequences may have been a bit harsh. But God is a just God. He is a righteous God. He is sovereign. And he is merciful, even in the Old Testament, as we're going to see. Verse 17 says of Romans chapter 6, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So for those of us in this place tonight who God has spoken to your heart and you obeyed him and you said, God, I'm going to obey you. I want to be baptized in your name, God. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. End of verse 17. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. All of those bulls and turtle doves and rams and all those sacrifices that they had to make in the temple could not atone fully for the sin of humanity. So Jesus Christ, he came and he became that ultimate sacrifice. Verse 3 of Romans chapter 8 says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're still talking about grace in the Old Testament. And I just wanted to show how the Old Testament and the New Testament work together. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It is the grace of God that calls us into repentance. Again, no man can come to God except his Spirit draw him. And that's why we pray and we ask God to draw our families and our loved ones. Because us alone just preaching to them, that alone cannot draw them. It's going to take the Spirit of Almighty God Amen, to reach them. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33 says, "And with great power the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace." And the word that I would like for us to focus on is great. Grace was upon them all. What God has done for us is great. It was a great thing that he did for me and for you. It was a great thing when he set me free. Jesus died on Calvary that the whole wide world will see. It was a great thing that he did for me. And you know, I'm guilty of taking my salvation for granted at times. I'm guilty at times of forgetting what he did. It was a great thing. And I know the world doesn't want us to remember. In school, they said we can't, public school, some of them are saying we can't even talk about our great Savior and what he did. Because the enemy wants to blind the eyes of people. But those of us who know and have experienced this redemption, amen, we can't keep it quiet. We can't keep it quiet. People can argue with us all day long, but they can never argue us out of our experience. Nobody knows where we've been and what God has done for us like we do. Hallelujah. We're talking about the grace of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So let us recap what we learned in Sunday school. Firstly, we're justified by grace. Grace is God's sovereign act. Grace is followed by obedience. So after the Lord has given us his grace and his mercy and given us this great salvation, there are things that he requires of us. Grace is followed by obedience. In Sunday school, we also learned how that we don't have to walk in bondage. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of Satan. We don't have to walk in bondage. Because of the ultimate sacrifice that was made on Calvary, we don't have to be bound. God wants to use you and I to spread that to the world and to those that we come in contact with that may ask us questions or that God wants us to minister to. Freely we have received, freely we should give. Amen. And as we drive around and walk around, we can see a lot of brokenness in our workplaces, in our family. We see a lot of hurt. A lot of brokenness, but there's hope. There's hope. Yeah, things are bad, but God is still sovereign. And his blood is still great. And his sacrifice on Calvary is still sufficient. And we can't do it. We know that we can't save anyone. Amen? But we can be the ambassadors that Jesus has called us to be. And sometimes we don't even have to say a word. Amen? Just in our action, maybe a smile. Because we have the hope of glory in us. If I was living in the Old Testament, I don't think I would make it for even a minute. I don't think I would make it for even a minute. But yet still, we still see his grace and his love in the Old Testament. Amen? So again, we learned in Sunday school, we don't have to walk in bondage because Jesus came to take back the dominion that Adam gave to Satan. First John chapter 3 and verse 8. First John chapter 3 and verse 8. Can someone read that, please? Amen. And thank God that we have an advocate, that if we do sin, that if we do fall, we don't have to stay there. God is just and He's able to help us. There are many examples in the Old Testament of God's grace towards humanity. Again, precept upon precept, line upon line. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they work hand in hand. I see the grace of God in Lot and his family. Lot was related to Abraham. The Lord told Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to leave your family. Leave your land, leave where you're from." And by faith, he just got up and he went. He didn't know where he was going. Lot went with him. And they parted ways. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 16 through 19, God is so gracious that he didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah without talking to his friend. God wants that kind of a communication and relationship with us, where he talks to us and he tells us and he shows us things and he even warns us. Amen. And Abraham did not want, you know, for his relative to perish. And so in Genesis chapter 19, verse 16 through 19, this is about Lot. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you'll be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die." So even in this, I see the grace of God. In this passage of scripture, we see God's grace towards Lot. And I personally believe that God's grace towards Lot and his family was activated by the intercession of Abraham. And that's why prayer is so important. Praying for our families and our friends. We don't know who to tell what God may do, what grace he may bestow on our loved ones who may be heading down the wrong way. So this is an Old Testament scripture where I see the grace and mercy of Almighty God. Another story in the Old Testament where I see the grace of God is Daniel chapter 4. And this is about King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, verse 31 through 37. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as an oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. So this king got lifted up in pride and arrogance. And so the Lord had to humble him. And I see the grace of God in this passage of scripture, because as we read, as we continue to read, it says, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. An excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." So this is a scripture where I see the grace of God. God put Nebuchadnezzar back in his right mind, and he was restored to his position. In verse 34 of Daniel chapter 4, God restored Nebuchadnezzar's mind. Another story where I see the grace of God is that of King Ahab. Ahab was married to Jezebel. Jezebel was a heathen. She had a lot of false worship, a lot of idolatry, a lot of children being sacrificed. She was a wicked, evil person. And she was not a part of the children of Israel. How she got into being a part of the children of Israel was when she married Ahab. And Ahab wanted a vineyard. Now, mind you, he's the king. He has a lot of wealth. But for some reason, he wanted the property of this person who didn't have much. And the guy said, "No, I can't give you my vineyard. I can't give you my property. This is my inheritance. This has been in my family. This belongs to me." Ahab didn't want to hear that. He didn't like that. So he went to his wife and complained and pretended to be all sad. And his wife set up some false accusation against this poor man who doesn't have much. And they accused this poor man of something that he didn't even do. And Ahab, or I should say Jezebel, Ahab's wife, had this man killed. And Jezebel said to Ahab, "See, get up. I took care of that for you. It's all right. Go ahead, take it." But God was not pleased with that. And God was not pleased with a lot of other things that Ahab allowed his wife Jezebel to do. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 28 through 29, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." We're still talking about the grace of God in the Old Testament. God is attracted to humility. We just learned a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar, how he got puffed up in pride and how God made him eat grass like an animal. And here you have Ahab. He's one of the most wicked kings. But here the Bible tells us that he humbled himself before the Lord. God listened to Ahab's prayer and fasting. God's grace can be seen throughout the entire Word of God. Another area where I see the grace of God in the Old Testament is in the book of Judges. God's people was constantly getting into idolatry. And as you read the Word of God, especially the Old Testament, you will find out how God hates idolatry. The Bible said that God is a jealous God. God wants complete devotion. He wants 100%. And as the song says, 99.5% won't do. God wants all of us. He loves us. He's jealous over us. Amen? He wants us to give him more of our time and more. He wants more of the attention, you know, than things that try to take our attention in this life. And so in the book of Judges, the Lord's people, they're just always getting into problems, always, you know, just drifting and straying away. But we're talking about the grace of God. Amen? Every time they would stray away, God always sent help. Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. God is jealous. He's like, okay, you're not going to serve me. You're not going to obey me. I'm going to let your enemies attack. Because he's a jealous God and he wants all of us. Judges 6, verse 6 through 8 says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So whenever we're weak, whenever we're struggling, whenever we feel like, man, I can't make it, cry out to the Lord. His grace is sufficient. If we come before him in true humility, like David and others in his word, there's no telling what he can do. There's no telling how he can turn around things and even things that we may have caused on ourselves. When we cry out in sincerity and humility, God is able to meet us and do amazing things. So the children of Israel in Judges chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, they cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. Ahab was wicked. Nebuchadnezzar was so arrogant, and God hates that, but they humbled themselves and they cried. out to God, and His grace showed up. When we cry to God, cry out to Him in sincerity, there's no telling what He can do. I don't care how dark and how filthy and how bad it is. Ahab was dark and filthy and horrible, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself before the Lord, and grace showed up. Judges chapter 11 and verse 1. Jephthah. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot. And I bolded that. He was the son of a prostitute. But God still used him. Judges chapter 13 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. God is jealous. When God gives us His grace and His mercy, He requires obedience, complete obedience. In the book of Judges, Judges chapter 16 and verse 1, God sent another one of His leaders to help out His people. And this leader was not perfect. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Judges chapter 16 and verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Despite Samson's weakness, he had a lot of faults, okay? He had a lust problem with women. He was disobedient. And I also feel like he was prideful and arrogant, because he didn't think that Delilah would bring him down. He's like, I'm strong, I'm mighty, I'm powerful, I got this. But Delilah brought him down. Again, we don't want to be presumptuous. Amen? The Bible we just read in Romans, you know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But what the Lord wants us to understand that from Genesis to Revelation, His grace and His love and His mercy for us and humanity is all over His word. And that's why we need both the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Samson had issues. He had weaknesses. But here again, like Ahab and so many others in the Bible, David, even Nebuchadnezzar, we see how he humbled himself. God is attracted to humility. We're talking about grace. Pride and arrogance and grace can't go together. Can't go together. In my opinion, what David did was worse than what Saul did. David was king. He could have had as many women, wives as he wanted to. But the one that God said no, that's what he went after. And not only that, but he had her husband killed. And this was a faithful, loyal soldier. And David got a little arrogant too, because he thought he got away with it. And God had to send somebody to say, no, that's not okay. And I love you. I forgive you. I'm going to show you my grace, but you're going to pay. But because of his humility, God restored David and Samson and any one of us who will not just once, but every day, go before him and say, God, help me. God, wash me. God, cleanse me. Help me to live your word, God. Help me, Lord Jesus, to not take your grace for granted. Help me not to be presumptuous, God. God's looking at the heart. So despite Samson's weakness, God's grace showed up. And in the book of Hebrews, again, Old Testament and New Testament goes together. Here in the New Testament, the Bible talks about Samson and his faith. He was so weak. They plucked out, they gouged out both of his eyes. Amen. But in his weakness, he said, oh Lord God, remember me. I know I did wrong. I know I've been disobedient. But just strengthen me, God. Just this once. Amen. Because the life that we live for the Lord, we're not just living it for ourselves. We're living it for our loved ones and our friends and those that God may send our way. That's why we have to stand and keep fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Because it's not just about me and it's not about you. This is about God, his kingdom, him getting the glory, and him wanting a deep, intimate relationship with every single human being that he's calling to his kingdom. And we know the story of Rahab. She was a whore. She was a prostitute. Amen? This is Old Testament and the correlation, how Old and New Testament goes together and how God's grace is all over his word. Because she received those spies, she heard about the children of Israel. Even though she was in her sin, she knew the true and living God. And by faith, she helped God's people. And because of her faith and her obedience, she was saved and her household was saved. So again, we're not just living this for ourselves. I don't have any children as yet, but for those of you who have children, your children is dependent on you. Amen. And God is able. God is able. Because it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is no respecter of persons. He's not like us. He doesn't have, you know, he's not one-sided. He's just. Amen. Ruth was a Moabitess. Her ancestry came out of incest, but God used her mightily in the book of Ruth because of her faithfulness and her obedience. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 3, it states, an Ammonite or Moabite, she was a Moabite, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation. They shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. That's what Deuteronomy 23 verse 3 states. But the grace of God appeared unto Ruth. Amen. And Jesus Christ came out of her lineage. So God can turn things around no matter how dark, no matter how whatever it seems. God is able because his grace is sufficient. His strength, if we can all stand, is made perfect in our weakness. Hallelujah. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to learn about you. This is an honor. This is a privilege, oh God, to hear your word. Oh God, in countries today, people are hiding. They're hiding because if they are seen with your word, they could be killed, oh God. In some countries, Lord, everybody doesn't have a Bible, but here we are, God. We can have Bibles and we can see your word, oh God, on the screen, and we can come here and learn of you, Lord God. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to let your word go deep in our spirits and our souls. Lord, let not the cares of life choke your word out of us. God, as we face the rest of this week, only you know the challenges that may come our way. But we're asking God to just help us to abound in your great grace for us. God, you love us so much, Lord God. And you've shown us your love by what you did on Calvary, oh God. It is mind-blowing that a God who created the galaxies and the stars and the trees and the birds and the animals and the God who gave man the mind to invent things, you would choose to live within us, oh God. Oh, you're such a great God. And God, what you have given us, glory to God. It is glorious. God, help us not to take advantage of your grace and your mercy. Help us, oh God, to understand, hallelujah, that what you have done for us is so amazing. Let not what we see on the news or around our world, oh God, blind us from seeing, oh God, what a glorious thing that you have done for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. It is a light. Hallelujah. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, we pray, God, that you will send people our way, that you will draw people to us to share your grace, your great and abundant love, and your great and abundant grace. Bless every single one of us in this room, Lord Jesus, and those, oh God, who may be struggling, those who may not feel, oh God, that your grace is able to pick them up and drag them out of whatever. God, we pray, God, that you will speak to them right now, oh God. Oh, that you will break the bonds of wickedness, that you will undo the heavy burdens. God, that your word will penetrate the darkness in the name of Jesus. Thank you for Pastor and Sister Brownie, God. Minister Chris, Sister Jessica, all the leaders of this ministry, continue to bless them and strengthen them, oh God, as they proclaim your grace and your mercy. Oh God, we give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.